And a pleasant good evening, one and all. Welcome to Blue Jays pre-game show. My name is Mike Wilner. I'm getting you set for tonight's Blue Jays Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim affair. Gets underway at about 9:35 Eastern time. So I'm here for the hour to entertain you between now and then. At the top of the hour, we will hear from, well, we'll join up with the rest of the nation for our official network Blue Jays pregame show. You'll hear from Kevin Barker, who's sitting in with Joe Siddle while Joe goes up and works TV because Pat Tabler has a weekend off. Jerry Howarth spoke to Eric Owens, the Blue Jays assistant hitting coach. And he also spoke to Blue Jays assistant GM Tony LaCava, which is a name that you might really want to get to know. Because if things break the way they could, for my money, the way I think they should, at the end of this season, Alex Anthopoulos becomes the president of baseball operations for the Toronto Blue Jays, and Tony LaCava becomes the general manager. I love Tony, one of my favorite people, fantastic baseball mind. He's been an outstanding baseball executive. He was offered the Orioles general manager's job before Dan Duquette, but said no thanks because, well, because of Peter Angelos and because Tony wouldn't have had the power that he felt a general manager needed. So he stayed here with Toronto, has seen this thing through with Alex Anthopoulos, with Andrew Tinnish. And you're going to hear from Tony on the network pregame show. Here on the pregame show, we'll take a look at another piece of that presidential puzzle. There was a report the other day from Ken Rosenthal that Mark Shapiro is a major candidate to be the next president of the Toronto Blue Jays. Shapiro was currently the president of the Cleveland Indians. So we'll talk to the man they call Hoinsie. If you follow the Tribe on social media, there are really two reporters that you want to follow to cover Cleveland. One of them is Jordan Bastian with MLB.com, used to be the MLB.com beat reporter for your Toronto Blue Jays prior to the current incarnation of Gregor Chisholm. But also Paul Hoynes for Cleveland.com, and we will have him as our guest later on in the hour. But first, been promoting it since last night when I called him and he said yes within 15 seconds. Devin Travis joins us, and not only does Devin Travis join us, but Devin Travis joins us to take your calls. So get your dialing fingers dialing at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. And Devin will be here for the next little while, taking calls and answering your Blue Jays questions. And let's try to, I'll ask him off the top how the shoulder's doing and all of that stuff. So let's try not to try to grill him for injury information. We will find out how Devin Travis is, and then you guys get to talk to him. So 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. And thrilled to be joined by Devin Travis. Thanks so much for doing this. I know you'd rather be taking batting practice in Anaheim right now, but really appreciate your time here.
Hey, Mike. How you doing? Thank you. Thank you. No doubt. It's been a long 3 weeks for me so far. The boys are playing well. That always makes everything better. So, yeah, definitely it's great to be on here for sure.
Yeah, it must have been. I mean, it was 6 weeks the first time the shoulder got hurt, and it was more than that, really, because you played through it for 3 weeks before you went on the DL, and now you've been out since July 28th with the second one that you hurt on a swing. And that was the last game you played was the first game that LaTroy Hawkins played, and then Troy Tulowitzki showed up the next day, and David Price the day after that, and Ben Revere and Mark Lowe the day after that. Well, the first thing, before we get to the team and how they're doing and how great it is, let's ask about you. How's the healing going? We're told you're not going to be back until September. Do you think it'll be early September, mid-September? Do you have any idea about that?
I couldn't tell you exactly when in September. We were hoping this was going to go a little bit quicker. It's just been a little bit of a slow process again, kind of similar to last time, just in the sense where we were thinking, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, and obviously last time it took me 6 weeks, and September is definitely the goal. I'm working as hard as I can, and Jeff Stevenson down here in Florida is the rehab guy. He's incredible. Every single day, even Sundays, he's in there pushing us and you know, working me and Marcus and all the guys in there to get back as quick as we can. So it's definitely moving along, not as fast as I'd like it, but I'm turning the corner here pretty quickly and should be coming up here soon in September.
And that's what we're all certainly looking forward to. That's great news. And September gets ever closer. It's August 22nd right now, so not that much time to go. As far as your season is concerned, I mean, for the games that you've managed to play when you've been healthy, I don't think anybody could have asked for more. I'm wondering if you've even surprised yourself with just how well you've done in your truncated as it is, but your rookie season, you're hitting .304. You got a slugging percentage close to .500. You've had a phenomenal start, and consider 3 weeks of it, you were playing with a busted shoulder, not being able to hit.
Thank you, Mike. Really, this year in full that I've, you know, as I was a part of, it was pretty incredible. I don't really think I could draw up my first year in the big leagues any different. Obviously, the injuries have really taken a damper on me and my season, but being a part of this organization, this team, having the opportunity to turn double plays with Jose Reyes, play on the same field as Russell Martin, Jose Bautista, Eddie, just guys that have been playing this game for so long, guys that I look up to, it's been really special, and it's really not a day that I ever take for granted in this game. And I think that was the biggest thing that I said last time was when you're hurt, you really realize how blessed and lucky you are to play this game. So it's tough sitting in my living room every day watching the game and, you know, not being out there able to help all my boys, but they've been doing a heck of a job, and it's really been a fun season to be a part of.
Is it strange when you think back that, like, a year ago today you were starting to learn how to play center field in Double A in Erie?
Yeah, definitely. I actually was talking to my family about that the other day. Honestly, right about this time, yeah, I was making a transition to center field, and it was exciting and it was fun because it's something that I had never done before. But at the same time, I played second base my whole life, so it was definitely a weird end of the season, and then heading into the off season. You know, I had plans of getting ready in center field, and I'd taken fly balls out there a few times before I ended up getting traded. Definitely. A whirlwind of a year for sure, but I really wouldn't do it any different.
No, I can imagine. Devin Travis is with us. He's going to take your calls, but I want to talk to him for a little bit first. Obviously, the team is doing awfully well right now. They have won, I think they're 16-4 since you went on the DL. So one can only imagine they'd probably be 19-1 if you were still playing. But you sit
yeah,
back.
Yeah, right.
But you sit back and watch, you got to be thrilled, A, with the way this ball club is playing, and two, with the way Ryan Goins is holding down the fort for you at second base.
Yeah, phenomenal. He's a fantastic ball player. He's, you know, probably the guy in the locker room that I'm the closest to. And, I couldn't be happier for him. He goes about his business right every single day, whether he's in that lineup or not. He's one of the hardest workers in that locker room, and that's saying a lot because guys in there don't really ever let up. So I'm so happy for him, and he's a first-class guy and a heck of a ball player, and it's been a lot of fun to watch.
We are with Devin Travis here, and before I turn it over to the people, you're down there in Dunedin, you're rehabbing. Marcus Stroman is as well, and everyone's very excited about Marcus's progress. When we heard in March that he was going to be done for the season with the knee thing, I mean, it was so early on in spring training. You're brand new there. You probably only knew him for like 2 or 3 weeks as a teammate. I know you knew each other previously, but I mean, that was just such a such terrible news for everybody in Blue Jays land. And I think especially for those of you guys in uniform to see what he's doing now, and to imagine that he may be back when you come back as well, that's got to be really amazing.
Yeah, it's really incredible. I remember that day pretty vividly when I walked into the locker room and, you know, I saw Stroman, on the table. And that's a guy that is not only a difference maker on the field, obviously he's, one of the best young arms in the game. He's just a ball of energy. And things like that, people like that, they spread that energy throughout the locker room. And he's just an exciting guy. And, the fans are obviously really excited for him to get back. And I think the players and the coaches are probably more excited. So it's really going to be a fun rest of the season here. And he's working his tail off. He looks great. I watched him throw a bullpen the other day. And it's the Marcus Stroman that I've faced all throughout college, and the reason I'm about 0 for 10 or 15, whatever it is. So, it's really exciting. He looks really good, and he's really going to help this ball club win.
Yeah, that's great, and people cannot wait for him to be back. All right, we're with Devin Travis. I promised that he would take your call, so I'm not going to take up all his time. The phone lines are open. If you can sneak in, try to sneak in. We'll have Devin talking to you, the fans, right now. And again, Devin Travis working hard, shoulder moving. The shoulder rehab is coming along well, and we're hoping that he's back sooner than later in September. So let's get to the phones. And Chris is in Scarborough. Chris, say hello to Devin Travis.
Hey, Devin, how's it going?
Chris, good, man. How you doing?
Good, thanks. I just had a quick question. And my question is about the Rogers Center turf, and not in terms of, you know, how the ball bounces or whatnot, but just in terms of do you feel it's a big effect on your body as opposed to playing on grass? So, like, if you're in a long homestand, does your body feel more sore than it does if you have a long away stand where you're playing on grass for a long time? I'll hang up to listen to your answer. Thanks.
Yeah, nice to meet you, Chris. I really didn't find the turf to be any problem. It's pretty squishy. Honestly, the biggest thing that I've dealt with the turf was, battling between whether I would wear molded or metals. And it's really a really soft ground out there with the turf. It's not hard like they said it used to be. So, yeah, I haven't found it too hard on my body at all. I really don't notice too much of a difference when I'm home or away.
Which is great to hear. And, yeah, it's kind of – and it settled a little bit. Like, I remember opening day – I don't know if you felt this way. I certainly did, and I heard from a couple of other people who did. You take your first step, it's fine. Your second step is all of a sudden like you're walking on a beach, and we saw just how slow it was at the beginning. It did seem to settle as the year's gone on.
No, yeah, I definitely agree with that. I feel like after about the first month, the turf really did start to settle down a little bit and start to play a little bit faster for sure.
But it's certainly not like like the old stuff, and the old stuff was just basically concrete covered by a little strip of carpet. This is a lot better than that. Who's next? Yaz is in St. Mary's. Hey, Yaz.
Hey, Mike.
Say hi to Devin.
I'm a big fan of yours. I actually do believe you are the next Robbie Alomar of the Toronto Blue Jays.
Oh, my.
And I would like to find
out. How you doing? Hey, I don't know about
I know it's early days. So. Early days. But could you tell me, was it for you to hit your first home run in Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, coolest moment by far in my entire life. I always tell everybody, I dreamed of playing in the big leagues one day, and playing in all these parks was just a dream. And honestly, being able to live it out, it's been about 5,000 times better than I had ever dreamed. So, yeah, this year really all has been incredible. People ask me about that first day in the home run. To be completely honest, after I hit the ball, I completely blacked out. I don't really remember anything throughout the rest of that entire day. But yeah, it's something that I'll look back on forever.
Right on.
Thanks, Yaz. Appreciate the call. And I think you actually did say that when you were the Rookie of the Month in April, you had 6 home runs already. You led the team with 7 at one point in early May after that grand slam. You didn't expect that you would have that kind of power in the big leagues, did you?
No, everyone was asking me what was going on, and I don't know. I don't know what the heck was going on. I think I was just finding the win and getting lucky. A mixture of everything. That first month was definitely incredible, for sure.
Yeah, in the first month of the season, Devin Travis at .325 with an OPS of .1018. And 6 home runs, 17 runs scored in 22 games. Back to the phones. Joanna is in Port Dover. Say hello to Devin Travis.
Hey, how's it going?
Joanna, good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Okay, so my question is, the team right now really seems to be gaining momentum, and when you return, you're really going to have to hit the ground running without much time to adjust. So I was wondering what your strategy was for that and what you're doing to keep up and be ready.
Definitely. That's a great question. I guess the biggest thing last time when I came back was, I decided I know I have a job to do, and just really taking care of whatever I can take care of and making the little things happen. The team's got a good thing rolling right now. That lineup's incredible. So I don't really know how much different. Or what I could do different to help this team win. It's incredible. But, just to come in and do the small things and do whatever I can really help the team win.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we are with Devin Travis. We're getting you set for the Blue Jays and Angels. It'll be Marco Estrada against Andrew Heaney. And Devin, a lot of guys have stepped up this year to fill in spots either where people have gotten hurt or where performance hasn't been there. I mean, and Marco Estrada, I think, is a huge example of that. He comes to camp, wasn't even supposed to be in the starting rotation. Stroman gets hurt. He's still not in the starting rotation. Not until Daniel Norris gets sent down at the end of April does he step in there. And here he is, and he's had the best year of his career in what's been a pretty good career so far. And you've got guys like Estrada, guys like Chris Colabello, Kevin Pillar, even though he's not hitting this month, but certainly on the defensive side of things, guys from whom not a lot was expected, and here they are having fantastic seasons. Is there anyone of those guys or even somebody else who stands out that much for you on this team?
Yeah, I agree. Really, everyone on this team, every morning I walk into to rehab to start my day. We always talk about the game the night before, and literally every night it feels like you're naming a different guy that that was the spark of the night, or a guy that really changed the game for us. I think that's what makes the ball club so special is being able to spread that well throughout the lineup, and Josh Donaldson can't be the MVP every single night of every single game, and I think that it really proves with our ball club that one night it's Pillar, next night it's Cece, next night it's Navi, one night it's Russ. It just really seems to be a different guy every single day. That's what good ball clubs have to do, and it's really been
a crazy year for sure, because you know so many guys are contributing in so many different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. A crazy good year for sure for the Toronto Blue Jays. Devin Travis is taking your calls for another few minutes. Let's get back to it. Rich is in Barrie. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Say hello to Devin.
Hey, Devin. How you doing, buddy?
Rich, good. How are you? Thank you.
Good, man. First off, big fan, obviously, of the team, yourself. I love the play, way you're playing the game, first full year into the season. Basically, I just want to know, as a 35-year-old former ball player now just playing lob ball, slow pitch, I just want to know with the acquisitions and the way the team's playing, how you approach your recovery time this time around, if you feel rushed or if you look at it and you go, you know what, the boys are playing well. I just need to get myself back to 100% and then do what I got to do to, you know, help this team win. And I'm going to hang up and, you know, just listen to your response and good luck with your recovery and, you know, with the way the rest of the season folds out.
Awesome, Rich. Thank you for calling.
I totally thought he was going to ask you to play for a slow pitch team while you're getting healthy.
Yeah, I'm coming out. the answer is his question. I think the biggest thing this time around is, you know, getting 100% healthy. I did feel 100% healthy the last time I came back. There wasn't any underlying issues or anything I was even worried about. It's just one swing that got me and kind of just sent me completely backwards this time, where I couldn't even really play through it this go around. But yeah, definitely, you know, knowing that team that they have up there, and you know, this now being my second time, you know, working on my shoulder throughout this year, the biggest thing for sure is to get healthy. And you know, whenever I'm healthy and I get back up there, whatever the plan is or whatever it takes to help the team win, I'm all in with that. So yeah, definitely getting healthy first and foremost, and yeah, going from there.
Did you learn anything trying to play through it the first time? I mean, I remember seeing you in the clubhouse the day after the second injury, and after, you know, you talked to the media and you were wonderful as always and gave us time and answered all the questions. And then as I walk away, I look back at you and you're taking your shirt off, but you're not moving your left arm at all when you're taking your shirt off. So I thought, all right, well, this one's pretty bad. Was it that bad the first time? And did you learn anything from the 3 weeks that you played with it hurt?
Yeah, I definitely did learn a lot. This last time, the first time I heard it, it was kind of more of a buildup, and you know, it finally got to the point where I couldn't play through it anymore. Where this time around, it kind of just took me right there. yeah, I was struggling to get my shirt on at first, but. Yeah, you know, I definitely learned a lot. I learned that maybe early on, when you have an injury or something's even hurting you, you know, just to say something earlier and get it taken care of earlier, and you know, you may only end up being a 2 or 3 day process of where you're out, rather than 6 weeks. I want to be out there every single day, and I want to be in a lineup every day. So I got to learn to balance that, and you know, knowing that health is first and should come first and foremost, and go from there.
Well, and hopefully that'll serve you well, because I think you're gonna be playing in the big leagues for a very long time. Raymond is in Anaheim, I guess, there to watch the Blue Jays. And Raymond, you're talking to two people who wish they were in Anaheim right now. Go right ahead.
Yeah, well, last night, Mike, we invited you out to Hooters, and you didn't go.
Well, because I'm in Toronto.
I know, but it's bad on you, because Dennis Rodman was there, and it got really, really weird. But to Devin, I'm just wondering about his thoughts on the future of the team, especially with guys like him and Asuna sticking around for a long time.
What'd you say? I'm sorry.
He wants your thoughts on the future of the team. And when you look at it, I mean, Russ Martin's there for another 4 years after this one. You're there for another 5. Josh Donaldson's there for at least another 4. Tulowitzki for another 5. Kevin Pillar for another 5. Batista and Encarnacion for 2 more. Sanchez and Asuna for another 5. And Stroman for another 5. I mean, there are a lot of good players going to be around here for a while.
Yeah, it's such an exciting group to be a part of. Thinking that we have that many guys going forward, and obviously the core being wrapped around Tulo and Donaldson and Russ. I don't really think there's too many other better trios than that going forward, especially for the next 4 to 5 years. The young guys too, it's really exciting. Ozuna, Sanchez, Stroman, Pilar, Goins. I mean, there's a lot of us that are going to be together, are going to be together a lot for these next 4, 5, 6 years, whatever it is. And it's definitely just so exciting to be a part of, and knowing that you got that core going forward every single year, it's definitely a big-time winning attitude. So, yeah, it's something that's great, great, great to be a part of.
We'll sneak a couple more calls in for Devin before we say goodbye. Mike is in Bowmanville. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks for talking to us.
Go ahead.
Hey, Devin, I got two questions for you real quick. Obviously, Blue Jays land sees a lot of potential in you. We see how you play, and everyone's really excited about you, but I just want to ask you personally where you think your potential can take you, specifically statistically, and if there's any kind of ceiling that you think you'd like to aim for in your career.
Hey, Mike, thanks for calling. You know what? I never really set, too many specific personal goals. My whole life, I've kind of always just went forward with the mindset of, hey, whatever it takes to, help this team win tonight and the next day and the following day, that's what I need to do. And I'll let all the personal goals and stats, all that stuff will take care of itself. But, it's just been a fun year, man. It's been so exciting. And I had no goals or expectations set for this year. So, it's just been an incredible ride. And, just going to keep that mindset going forward.
And
good luck with your rehab. Thanks for having me.
Mike, thanks, man.
Thanks. Thanks a lot for the call, Mike. And it really, it has been a whirlwind and an incredible year. And we've had a lot of fun watching you. We can't wait until you get back on the field with Devin Travis here. I want to ask you about some stuff, I guess, that only Blue Jays would know, because I get, I do the post game show every night and I handle the calls and I talk to the people. But there are a lot of questions that they ask me that I don't know. I mean, oh, you just hit a home run on TV right now. There you go, Devin Travis, watching Sportsnet's top 50 moments of the year for the Blue Jays, and you just hit a home run at Yankee Stadium. So well done. I've always been a firm believer in the idea that there's only so much that, not you, because you really seem to be open and honest and you're not jaded and guarded and thinking that we're out to get you or anything, but there are a lot of guys who are like that and will only show us a certain face within the clubhouse. They only show us what they want us to see, and we don't know what people actually are like behind the scenes. But I guess one of the calls that I get the most about the Blue Jays and personality-wise and who you guys are is that there are a lot of fans that call me all the time that say, what kind of leader can Jose Bautista be when he's always making gestures at umpires and arguing about the strike zone and all of that stuff? And for me, leadership is only what you guys see and what you guys know and what he says in the dugout and what whoever the leader is, whether it's Bautista, whether it's Burley, whether it's you, whether it's somebody we don't know. So I'd like to ask you what your thoughts are about who you feel like is the leader of this team or are the leaders of this team and what that means to you, whether it's leading by example on the field, whether it's pulling you aside in the dugout or in the clubhouse or batting practice or whatever. What is that like for you?
Yeah, I mean, definitely being a younger guy, I look up to all the older guys. There's a lot of people in this locker room that, we're all lucky to, to be able to pick their brain and to learn from Batista, Donaldson, Russ. Not much of Tulo yet because I haven't had the opportunity to play with him yet. But just the knowledge inside of this locker room is incredible. I think the coolest part is Batista and Donaldson and Eddie. They're always talking amongst each other, and they're always helping each other, trying to become the best player that they can be. I think that's the neatest thing. Is a lot of times we see these superstars and you know, we think that, you know, they're not even trying to learn anymore. And every single day there's something new that they're talking about. I walk by their table or the couches that they're sitting on, and I just keep walking because they get so in depth. They're such smart baseball players and hitters that if I thought the way that they thought, I wouldn't even be able to, you know, remember that my job was to hit the baseball. So, yeah, all these guys in this locker room, I think, are great leaders, whether it's by example or, you know, obviously some are a lot more vocal. I watch everything everyone does, though. I try to not only pick guys' brains, but knowing that they played this game for 8, 10, 12, whatever years it was or it's been, I want to know how they go about their business. I want to know how they prepare for a game. I want to know how they prepare their body. I want to see how they recover. I want to see their workouts. I want to see their BPs. I want to see how they take ground balls, take fly balls. This game is so incredible because you can learn something new every single day. And with this locker room, I may never be a part of a locker room this talented. And you know, really, we have a locker room full of leaders. So, yeah, like I said, I may never be a part of anything like this again. So it would be, you know, pretty shameful of me not to, you know, walk out of that locker room every single day with, you know, a brain full of new knowledge.
They just showed that play you made on Chris Davis, by the way. The home run was number 48, and the play you made on Chris Davis was number 38. So, yeah, that was okay. A hell of a play. Well done.
Thank you. I tried to learn that one from Goins, but I'm not quite there yet.
Not quite there. I don't know if anybody is quite there yet as far as Ryan Goins. I, you know, we've had some great second basemen here, Alomar and Orlando Hudson and Aaron Hill, all won Gold Gloves, and I think Goins is right up there with every single one of them.
I agree with he's something else, man. In the field, he is a once in a lifetime type guy. Really, I watch him take ground balls. Oh, no matter where he's out on the field, third base, shortstop, second, and I just shake my head every day. I watch him take ground balls, so I definitely agree with you.
All right, well, and we love watching you play, whether it's playing second base and always like 98% of the time throwing out that lead runner at second. On those ground balls where you would see a lot of guys just take the out at first. Love that aspect of your defensive game. Love really everything about your game. And really continue to believe that you're just such a great, I don't want to say kid, young man, and have such a fantastic future ahead of you in the game. I have loved getting to know you over the course of this year, and I'm looking forward to a long and very successful Blue Jays tenure with Devin Travis. Can't wait to have you back on the field. Thank you so much for all this time. It was great catching up to you with you. Wow, if his phone just went, that was the perfect time. Are you there?
Hey,
there you are. All right,
I just saying thank you for the kind words for sure. And hopefully we'll be having these conversations in person soon.
Yeah, that would be spectacular. All right. Keep working hard, and we'll see you back in the big league soon.
Mike, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
An absolute pleasure, Devin Travis. And, you know, if you listen to that 35 minutes right there, what an incredible guy this is. And I can't remember 15 years doing this. We've never had an active disabled player on interacting, taking calls, spending this kind of time with us. So just another piece of who Devin Travis is and what a phenomenal human being this young man is, and a terrific baseball player as well. Cannot wait to have him back in the big leagues. We're going to step away. When we come back, we'll talk to Paul Hoynes of Cleveland.com about this story that Mark Shapiro, the president of the Tribe, is in the running for the Blue Jays top job. Find out a little bit about Shapiro and a little bit about what might be going on there as we continue. It's Blue Jays pre-pregame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Welcome back to Blue Jays pre-pregame show. I'm Mike Wilner. That was a phenomenal half hour with Devin Travis taking your calls. And we got a few minutes left before we have to send it to the network and bring you Blue Jays baseball. The Jays and the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim want to spend these last 4 or 5 minutes with Paul Hoynes of Cleveland.com, one of the greats on the Indians beat. There's Paul Hoynes. You can find a Twitter at Hoynesy. And then a few steps below him, there's Jordan Bastion. And then there's everybody else. Thanks for joining us. Especially on a Saturday night off in New York City. Much obliged, sir.
No problem.
All right, good. I want to know about this Mark Shapiro thing. Shapiro has been with the Indians forever in the front office. Ken Rosenthal reporting earlier this week that he is a candidate for the Blue Jays president's job. Had you heard anything about this, anything about him wanting to move along? And do you think that there's any there with this story?
Well, I think there's probably some validity to it. I had talked to him, this was about a year ago, about it when, you know, the first rumbling started. He was very cautious about it then. And this is the first time his name has really surfaced, in connection with the job. I think there's something there. I think it's usually, with Shapiro, there isn't too much rumors usually circulate around him. It's either, it's kind of a black or white thing. It either is or it isn't. And I think when something pops like this, there's probably some legs to it.
How has he made that transition from GM to president out there in Cleveland? And is he still like a baseball first guy, or has he spread his wings into the business side? What's it been like?
Well, I think, he's done a pretty good job of the business side. His big project, has been the renovation of Progressive Field. They did a bunch of work, this past off season in the center field and right field sections. They kind of opened up a ballpark, and they've got a phase two going at the end of this season, which will, kind of do the same behind a home plate area. So, there's been that, he's really been into, social media. He's kind of introduced that to the ball club. He's the dynamic ticket pricing, all that. He's been involved in a lot of stuff. He was on Bud Selig's, the on the field committee, and he's now on the competition committee with the new commissioner, Rob Manfred. So yeah, he's had his hands in a lot of things.
Yeah, that's pretty extensive work for sure. We're wondering about the baseball first guy like they have with Andrew Friedman in L.A. and Theo Epstein in Chicago, these GMs who became president. Shapiro was one of the first ones to do that. Do you think that – well, I guess – I don't know. I was going to say, do you think that he'd come here? But you said earlier, if it's out there, then it's a possibility. What do you think we would get if Mark Shapiro wound up being here as a president?
I think you're going to get, a guy that's going to be, face of the franchise, a good leader, a strong leader to an organization. And I think a guy that maybe has kind of got the bug bite back for, maybe getting a little more involved in the baseball side of things. You know, he was the general man. You know, he's worked his way up the ladder here. Like you said, he's been here forever, 24 years. So this guy, you know, was an entry level in the baseball operations, division. He worked his way up to assistant farm director, assistant GM, GM, and president. So he's done a little bit of everything. He was the GM here for 9 years. And I think just from talking to different people, I think he'd kind of like to, kind of get back a little more involved in the baseball side of things.
That's interesting, and we all wonder what that means, I guess, for Alex Anthopoulos here. Paul Hoynes, thank you so much. We really do appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday in New York, and Blue Jays fans everywhere are hoping that that you can talk to the Indians players before the game tomorrow and make sure they get another win against the Yankees.
Okay. Well, we'll see you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks very much. There he is. You can find him on Twitter, at Hoynesy. Paul Hoynes of Cleveland.com filling us in on Mark Shapiro, president of the Cleveland Indians and rumored to be interested in the Blue Jays president's position. Paul Beeson, of course, is retiring at the end of this season. We're done. And when we come back, we'll be back with the rest of the network, getting you set for the Blue Jays and the Angels. That's at the top of the hour. Thanks so much for listening. This has been Blue Jays pre-game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.